to tempt your palate, and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Oh, my friends. What a better way to spend St. Patrick's Day than with Chef and the Fat Man and Blue Collar Chefs. Well, to be honest with you, I can think of a lot better ways on St. Patrick's Day, but, hey,
well, there's the rest of the afternoon.
Yes. I'll tell you what, my friends. We are here at the 2012 North Georgia Home and Garden Expo in Dawsonville. And Dawsonville's a great little town. You know, those of you inside the perimeter, you're afraid of the nosebleed that you get for going more than 5 miles above 285. But why don't you live exciting? Why don't you live on the edge? Come up to Dawsonville. Do a little shopping. Enjoy the cleaner air.
Yep.
Enjoy the vista of the mountains in the background.
And by the way, we're right next to the outlets, too.
So well, that's you can enjoy the shopping. The outlets. That's what the She-Beast says. After the show, where are we going, dear? I thought Teresa, Michael, you and I, and if Eric wants to join us, we'll go out and find something to eat. She goes, at the outlet stores? I don't know what she meant by that, but, you know. But anyway, my friends, we are here having a blast. And Chef Eric, your first recipe has blown them off the face of the earth. They are all drooling. The EMS is bored out there. There's nothing happening.
Nothing to do.
Hey, yeah. Well, you know, that's a beautiful thing. Now, let me ask you this, Chef Eric.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do you know what happened 100 years ago on March 6th?
100 years ago on March 6th.
A culinary gift was bestowed upon the American people.
Well, all I can think of is it might have something to do with two crisp layers and a cream filling.
Or a double cream filling.
Yeah.
You got it. It's the 100th anniversary. March 6, 2012 was the official 100th anniversary of the Oreo cookie. Yes, the Oreo cookie was 100 years old. And Chef Eric, I got to tell you, that is absolutely one of the true great treats from 100 years ago. And
yeah.
Still going strong.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal. I mean, what kid doesn't love Oreos?
Adult doesn't love Oreos?
Well, I'm on a diet, so.
Well, I know, but
when I saw most recently in the store the birthday cake filled Oreos, I almost broke down on my diet.
I wish, you know, I tried to find some at my local Kroger and they did not have them. So when we leave here, I'm going to go to another couple of Krogers and see. But the actual birthday cake or the birthday Oreo has got the frosting on it. It's got the cake-type middle from what I've read about it.
Right.
Now, they rolled those out in the second week of February. And according to the Oreo people, they have said that they'll be out there for about 6 to 8 weeks. So you better grab them while you can, because they are truly a unique, tasty delight.
I bet.
Now, of course, the United States is the number one consumer of Oreo cookies. Do you know where number two is now?
China.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And it didn't catch on real easy over in China. It was kind of a hard sell. So what they did was they actually put out a advertisement to college kids who wanted to make extra money. And they rode around on bicycles. 3,000 of them rode around on bicycles with Oreo-type cookies on their wheels.
Yeah.
And they handed out thousands and thousands of Oreo cookies.
Really?
And then they changed the flavor. They realized they still weren't where they wanted to be, so they started playing with the flavor profiles to get it to something in a more like stick-like, more covered, and I'll go into the little technical.
You know,
but the idea is they changed it up, and now it's become the hottest cookie in China.
You know, I think I saw that when I was in China, as a matter of fact. And I figured it was just something for the Chinese market, which I guess it is. But
it really is. You can't get those here. But you know what? As a matter of fact, the Oreo cookie is the number one in China accoutrement to pigeon beaks. I just want you to know that. Look, I knew you would appreciate that.
Pigeon heads.
Pigeon heads.
Yeah.
You hold it by the beak. However
yeah.
you do it.
It's really good.
Well, Chef Eric, talking about really good, now you're going to do something that I know is almost offensive to you because it's assemblage more than cooking.
Yes.
And gosh knows we hate assemblage.
Yes, well, we
but you're
going to
do a nice salad.
Yeah, I'm going to do a cold salad, which is Cadgary salad, and again, an Irish-style salad. I'm using a smoked Scottish salmon, about 16 ounces of it.
You could have said Irish. Why'd you have to say Scottish?
Well, it's in the Isles.
It's a Norwegian thing, I know.
Yeah, well, Irish salmon? I don't think I've had Irish salmon.
The first salmon I ever caught was in Ireland. They have salmon weirs.
Yeah, but aren't they Scottish salmon? Don't they cross
no,
the...
No, yeah.
Right. I don't know. Anyway, so what I'm going to do is I've got in a bag, because I didn't want to dirty a bowl, yeah. I've got the salmon that I flaked. So I flaked it apart. I've got, a roasted red pepper. I could put a roasted yellow pepper. Instead, I put two roasted red peppers in there. We're going to take some green onions.
Thank goodness you're going to add some green in there.
Yes, because I know you and how important that green is for you.
Well, you know, it's not only important for me. Style. It's important for all the Irish. But did you know that, of course, many of the traditions of St. Patrick's Day, or Padraig's Day, as they call it in Ireland, is that everybody thinks that green was the color most associated with St. Patrick. As a matter of fact, it was blue.
Really?
And the Irish had such an affinity for the green of the countryside, the green... And the shamrock was, you know, it's been attributed to St. Patrick, explaining the Holy Trinity of the Catholic Church, that they evolved it from blue to green because it fit more into the Irish mode. And since they were one of his, you know, they canonized him, they did everything they could to make him who he was today. So there you go. So the green wasn't always green with St. Patrick, but you, Chef Eric, are staying on the cutting edge of Irish societal demands.
That's it. So we're putting some green in there by chopping up some green onion. Now, you could use a couple of spring onions. And spring onions are a little hotter, harder to get, but you can find them. By the way, today at Whole Foods, I saw Vidalia long onions, which I was very tempted to get. I need to ask the Schumann folks about that type of onion. But anyway, so...
But they probably wouldn't be real sweet.
I don't think that they are, no. I wouldn't think so. So anyway, I took some green onions instead of the spring onions. And I'm going to take some corn. And by the way, the corn is raw. I don't want cooked corn. I'm just going to cut it right off of the cob here. Because we want
raw corn.
Raw corn.
Do we look like crows?
Huh? Haven't you ever had raw corn?
Yeah, not very often, though.
Well, I mean, you normally do when it's when you're getting it out of a can, right? It's all raw.
Not the cans I get.
Well, they're probably cooked with all sorts of gunk then.
Well, I'm not saying how they were cooked. I'm just saying.
But if you've ever tried raw corn before, I promise you, you won't ever want it cooked because it's wonderfully sweet and refreshing and all that good stuff. So, I'm just going to take three cobs, basically, of corn. Three. And cut away.
You've got most of it on the cutting board. I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, cutting board and floor and table and everything else.
By the way, did I remark how good you look, how handsome you are in your new chef's jacket?
Well, thank you very much.
Not that I admire men in jackets, but I'm just saying.
I appreciate that more. This is, like I said, that was the embroidery job that the folks over at Jackie's did for me, which was phenomenal. And the chef wear jacket always looks good. We need to talk to them about sponsorship, I think.
They used to.
I remember. after the amount that I spent on my, between new chef pants and chef jackets.
Yes, but you didn't get the really cool chef pants. You got some flying pigs.
I got flying pigs. I got...
You got what I call the cabana pants that you're wearing now.
The blue and white
stripe.
I was doing an event the other day, fundraising for my mission trip to El Salvador, and I was wearing these pants. I looked down at one point, we were done with everything. I said, the thing I love about being a chef is that I can get away with wearing these pants. I mean, can you imagine a whole suit made out of these?
Well, I remember the laughter that you had with me at the Great Pumpkin Festival, and you said those pants are pumpkins. But when I shut the light off and shut the door and the pumpkins glowed, You were blown away. You laughed. But what was the hit of the Pumpkin Festival?
Definitely.
So I've got my Shamrock Irish pants on today, and I walked into the local fine eating establishment known as Shea Waffle, and I heard it go, "Dude, that dude's wearing Shamrock pants." Or, "Man, I wonder if he's dating a guy or a girl." Or, "I wouldn't be caught dead in those things." Yes, sir. That's why you are the most well-known people at the bar at the Waffle House. Thank you very much. But I walk in here and everybody's like, all the beautiful ladies are coming up going, "Wow, I wish I had those pants."
Yeah, so you got beautiful ladies' pants. It's nice. Isn't that what you just said?
It attracted beautiful women. My wife, Teresa, all the beautiful women came up and said, "Boy, I wish I..." Well, the she-beast would never say, "I wish I had pants like that." Never. Not in a million years. But anyway, I digress. When we come back, Chef Eric has been pounding his...
Peanuts.
What? Pounding his peanuts. That's a sight for you, my friends. Visual. That's what we sell here at Chef and the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs. It's all about the visuals. When we come back, Chef Eric is going to finish up another recipe. We're going to find out what does he do with nuts, corn, and all that other stuff, and rice. He's going to make a salad that's Irish. Chef and the Fat Man taking it to the streets of Dawsonville. This St. Patrick. Oh, well, St. Patrick, say hello, my friends. Chef and the Fat Man live. We are here at the incredible 2012 Georgia Home and Garden Expo in North Georgia. And I wish you could be here, but it's too late. It's over. You missed it. But stay tuned for next year because it'll be there. And Chef Eric, we've had fun. You've had two. You finished up your second wonderful recipe. And this one is just, this is really great because in this recipe, you add just about everything that's left over in the fridge. You got green peppers or red peppers. If you have green peppers, you got what else have you got? You just got a bunch of stuff.
I've got red peppers, yellow peppers, both that are roasted, green onions, cooked rice. I've got about a pound of smoked salmon. You can use any smoked fish, really. I've got sweet corn cut out right off the cob. I've got peanuts that I chopped or crushed, pineapple chunks, not too big. You got to want to make them the size of everything else, kind of, and one or two hard-boiled eggs that you slice up and add in there with 3 tablespoons of mayonnaise.
Now, when you say mayonnaise, I have some people that say, "Oh, my goodness, I'm going to use light mayonnaise."
No.
To wit, we would reply,
"Ew, no way, no light mayonnaise."
Listen, my friends, unless the doctor tells you you're going to slip a dirt overcoat on sooner rather than later, unless he tells you you must eat light mayonnaise, don't do it.
Unless, of course, you want to switch doctors, which is what I would recommend.
Switch doctors, too. That's always a good thing. But anyway, so this is great. We'll start handing this out. Let's see if we got some... the soup, there's nothing left.
Yeah, the soup's gone. This is just meant to be a simple cold salad. And this is, believe it or not, a very traditional salad as well. So this isn't an out-there recipe. It's just meant to take the natural things that are local and put them together. And rice is one of those foods that is ubiquitous. It's grown everywhere now, as we were saying, especially in wet climates. So I've made this in a bag. You could do a good job of folding this nicely and gently folding that mayonnaise in. I sort of smushed it all together just because...
Yeah, but I like the bag method.
Yeah, it's easy.
Bag cooking is easy. All you do to clean up, throw the bag away.
That's it.
Now, of course, people get kind of upset with me. They say, "Well, what are you doing throwing..." Well, I won't use that joke because look what happened to Rush Limbaugh.
How is it? You like it?
Here we go.
All right. Now, in this, you can use long grain rice. I wanted to give it a little bit of a bite, so I actually used sushi rice, which I added.
No, you didn't. I did. Sushi rice because you want to be a weenie.
Yeah. No. But I used the sushi rice because you also add a little bit of seasoned rice vinegar in there, and it gives a little bit of acidity to the dish.
Now, if I wanted to make this at home, which I probably would because it's easy, I can do it in a bag.
And you can stick it on a cracker.
And it's got a ton of mayonnaise in it. How would I find that recipe?
You would go to www.chefandthefatman.com and look at the recipes.
Now, maybe by this time, you will be on the new website.
Pretty close.
If not, just remember, the website you're on is going to change within a week or two, so don't panic. But it's what we've lived with for 10 years, so deal with it.
It is what we've lived with.
There we go.
All right, so this has just about a little bit of everything in there. All right.
Speaking of a little bit of everything, while you're setting up your next recipe, which, of course, is going to be oysters and Guinness, risotto and watercress.
Correct.
While you're setting that up, Chef Eric, you're talking about the multitudinous flavors. Well, let me tell you, my friends, as we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Oreo cookie, you probably think of Oreos, white filling, two thin chocolate. Let me tell you about the flavors and the histoire that has gone on and where Oreos have changed to fit the palates of the individual countries. There's been the Oreo, the chocolate Oreo, the strawberry milkshake Oreo, which was introduced in Canada, and the strawberry Oreo, which was introduced in Indonesia and Malaysia. The Chinese and the Japanese are very popular with green tea Oreos. That's why they live there and we live here, folks. Lemon ice Oreos in Japan. And here's the one that absolutely kills me. How dare they? Organic Oreos. Introduced in 2006, are plain Oreo cookies made with organic flavor and organic sugar. Please.
What is wrong with that?
Please.
A lot of the
blueberry ice cream Oreos in Indonesia and Malaysia in 2010. Then the Thais got a hold of it. Now they're doing it in Thailand. Do you remember this in April and May of 2010? They did the Oreo Dairy Queen Blizzard Cream.
Yes,
they did that for 1 month.
That.
They introduced those. That was to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Dairy Queen Blizzard. There is the Double Stuffed Golden Oreo, the Oreo Fudgies, rectangular dipping shaped Oreos with a chocolate fudge filling. Oh, man. That's just beautiful. I can feel the weight just pouring all over me. They got Venpak Oreos, Double Delight Oreos, Cool Mint Cream Oreos. And we'll have some more Oreos for you later in the show.
My goodness. My goodness. All right. So we're starting up our next recipe here, which is going to be our oyster and Guinness risotto. I can finally break open the Guinness. And I'm going to take a red onion to start with.
A red onion.
A red onion, that's correct.
You know, people need to cook more with red onions. I love red onions.
Well, you know, red onions have a certain sweetness to them that I think is really appealing. It's very often used in Central American cooking, in Italian cooking.
Do you know why I don't use red onions more?
Because they're not Schumann produce real sweet onions?
That's right, because, my friends, if you're going to have an onion, I'm gonna do a little trick here, Chef Eric, while you're chopping your onion.
Yeah.
Would you open it? Oh, you slit the bag. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, my friends, I'm going to show you two onions. I'm going to hold one in my right hand, one in my left hand, and one in my right foot. No, just two of them. Now, when you look at these onions, which is the prettiest, most beautiful, subtle, delicious-looking onion that you can see? The lady, the lovely lady Nancy is pointing to the one on my left. Chef Eric, which one is the real sweet onion?
Oh, the one on the right, clearly.
Absolutely. It's not as round. It's more squat. It's got a prettier color. It's got a deeper, sweeter look to it. And my friends, it is so amazing. Could you cut this in half for me, Chef Eric?
Sure.
Now, we all know this time of year when you're cutting and cooking with onions at home, you go, oh, no, the tears are just absolutely going to kill me. Well, these onions are so sweet, they have so little tear power, that I'm standing here with a freshly sliced onion right next to my eyes, and I'm going to carry on the conversation for the next 5 minutes. You will see no red, you will see no tears, and at the end I'm going to do something very special that you can't do with any other onion. But Chef Eric, while we're working, continue on with your amazing recipe.
All right, so we're starting off with our onions going in to some olive oil in the pot. And you want to make this in a heavy bottom skillet or pot. So I'm using, again, my Lodge cast iron ceramic-coated.
You love those, don't you?
I do. I use these at all the shows. I mean, I haul these around. I bang them around all over the place, and they do the job. They never, you know, they don't crack. They don't break. They're perfect.
Did you drop one on your foot, and that's why you're having a problem?
No, man. I dropped a quarterback on my foot years ago. That's why I'm having a problem.
But most quarterbacks.
Most quarterbacks. Anyway, so I'm going to let the red onions that I've chopped up, and just sort of rough chopped it. We're going to make this rustic. I'm all for rustic today.
Wow, you rustic?
Yeah, yeah.
Perish the thought.
And I'm also going to take one more little bit of garlic and just fine slice it.
Or you could grab the jar.
Or you could grab the jar. But fresh garlic's best if you can use it. And we're going to let that cook for probably 1 to 2 minutes. There, we've got some nice heat going with the oil, basically until it's translucent. All right, now we're going to take our risotto rice. And let's see, 36 ounces, that's about 18 ounces left. So look at that. You've had that real sweet Schumann produce onion next to your eye.
Right next to my eye.
Right next to your eye. No tears.
Not only no tears, not even any red, not any irritation, not anything. And we're going to keep going. We're going to see how long we can keep this onion next to my eye. And I guarantee you, my friends, don't do this at home. Because if you use something other than real sweet onions, you will absolutely have red, red eyes, huge crocodile tears. But keep going, Eric.
So I've got my arborio rice that just went in with my onions, a little bit more olive oil. And the reason we put the rice in with the oil is we want every single bit of those rice kernels to be coated with the oil first before we start the process. That will protect them in the cooking process. It'll also help slough off some of the starches to give us a nice thickness in the risotto. And then I'm going to add in about a cup of sliced mushrooms.
Nice.
And then when we come back from a break, I'll tell you what else we're putting in there.
I'll tell you what, a shameless tease, Chef Eric. You're trying to get to the point where you don't need me anymore. I see, I understand. Chef of the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs, celebrating Patrick's Day, or as they call it in Ireland and in Dublin, St. Patrick's Festival. Chef of the Fat Man, live from Dawsonville, Georgia, baby, taking it to the streets legally. Oh, my friends, it's St. Patrick's Day, or as they say in Dublin, Ireland, Patrick's Festival. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We hope you're having as safe and wonderful a day as we are. But, Chef Eric, I think it's hard to beat where we're at.
We're
up here in beautiful North Georgia. We're having a blast. And, Chef Eric, you have got a third recipe that you've been working on. And tell us now, you said you were going to tell us about other ingredients you were going to add to this amazing oyster and Guinness risotto and watercress. Let me guess. Karnak. Wait a minute. Oysters. Guinness are two of the ingredients.
Very, very good. You're so good. You're
you know,
incredible. Just how introspective and innovative and in words you are.
Yeah, well.
Intolerable. No, I'm just kidding.
Now stop it.
I'm kidding. So, I've got this risotto going. It started off with red onions and garlic with olive oil. Once that was translucent, maybe 2 minutes or so, on medium heat, we added in, some risotto rice, which is arborio rice, and made sure that we got all the little bits of rice all coated with that oil. Then I added a cup of sliced mushrooms.
Nice.
And then I let that go for another 2 minutes. And now, if you take a look here, I've put in a whole Guinness in here. And it gives it that nice color.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you were sampling.
Well, I sampled. All right, so maybe it was 3/4 of a Guinness.
Thank you. Be honest. Honesty on radio
is
important.
But see, here's what you get, though. Notice that all the liquid has now
gone.
Totally evaporated. So now we're ready to go in here with some chicken stock. The risotto is not solely Guinness. And I'm going to add a little bit at a time. Now, the best way to do this is really to have the chicken stock be hot. So you want it in a separate pot, and you can just ladle about a ladleful at a time into the pot and just keep stirring. And by stirring, you're going to get some starches released from the arborio rice, and you're going to get the absorption to take place of all those ingredients into the rice. So what you end up with is a very creamy rice dish, and then at the end, we're going to add in some of those other special ingredients we talked about. But for now, this risotto is going to take, all segment long at least, to cook, because we need to make sure that rice is totally, totally cooked as it goes. So I'm going to keep stirring this, and then I'm also going to prep for our next dish,
which, of course, is a pork chop. And really, after you say pork chop, what else do you need to say?
Absolutely.
I mean, pork chop is another classic, should be a food group right there with mayonnaise, ketchup. I mean, if they just gave me the FDA for 2 weeks, I could straighten things out real well.
You'd change that food triangle, would you?
Oh, the food triangle would be a food quadrangle.
So here's what I'm doing. I'm going to make a gluten-free version of this
recipe. Oh, don't you? No, no.
Yeah. Well, no, but this is going to add an extra little dimension of flavor. You see, I'm using a white rice flour.
Okay.
Instead of a standard all-purpose flour. You could use all-purpose flour, certainly.
Which is what most people... I'll tell you what, I could just imagine going to Miss Ada's house and going, "Hey, Miss Ada, I want to pan fry some pork chops. You got some white rice flour?" What do you think she'd say?
She would tell your lovely wife that she told her not to marry you.
But yeah, well, she did.
So,
yes,
we're going to
find
take...
out cast iron is something more than just to cook with.
But here's the thing. Look at those beautiful pork chops there.
Oh, man.
So, you see, what we're doing here is we're going to coat the pork chops in the white rice flour. Now, the reason I'm using white rice flour is not just to annoy you.
Yes, it is.
Well, that's part of the reason. It gives a crispiness that you don't get with regular flour.
I shall be the test of that, because no one knows fried food like I do.
Well, it's not really fried, but okay.
Well, it's going to be a variation of fried. If it ain't going to be... Ooh, that's a beautiful thing. Now, if anybody tells me that they can't understand why I want to make that a food group, they don't get it.
What, pork?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially a pork chop. That's not a pork chop. That's like a half a pig.
That is. Well, this was from the good people over at Whole Foods there. They provided some amazing-looking pork chops. And so I'm taking a bag of that rice flour, and I'm just coating all of the pork chops. Now, here's the thing.
I'm waiting.
When you put standard white flour in there, what do you always have to do? You've got to knock off all the flour and all that stuff, because it's messy. It's, whatever. The white rice flour, you'll see it coats very evenly. It sticks to it with no problem. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
don't look at me that way.
I want crisp. I want a little crispness in my. In other words, it's a version of a pan-fried pork chop.
Right. So now, of course, I've let my risotto sit a little too long. So I'm not going to.
I hate it when that happens.
I'm not going to stir too hard, because there may be little pieces down there.
Some
in the bottom.
Fond.
Some fond.
Yes.
But that's all right. You want to continuously stir your rice, unless you're doing a radio show, in which case
Yeah. You
need to do two things at once, or three or four. So, again, we continue to stir and stir and stir until we get...
Well, you're used to that. You made... your roux for your gumbo was 2 hours.
Yeah, this is going to take 2 hours.
Cake.
This is like 20 minutes. This is kind of what a blonde roux would have, would have been. So,
I used to have to work harder for blondes than I did for brunettes, but... In the roux.
Okay. All right. So, now, again, you could take oil or oil and butter to do what I'm going to do here with the pork chops. But I'm going to take a little bit of salt and pepper first.
Can we remind people why you don't have any butter? Well, you don't have any solid butter.
Friends like you.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm being liberal with the salt, because it's going to come up.
And the pepper.
With the pepper as well.
Do you use a lot of white pepper? I love white pepper.
I use white pepper in things that I don't want to discolor. You know, something where when you're eating it and you're like, wait, is that a little bit of dirt there?
You know, yeah, a little rustic.
Yeah, that means you should have used white pepper. But in general, black pepper I think is a little bit more, you know, a little more potent and more bang for your buck. You need to add more white pepper, I think, when you use white pepper. But, all right, so we're going to see here.
I don't think you have any flour left.
That sounds about right.
Do you know the good way to test it?
Yeah, you can take some parsley.
Yeah, there you go.
And see how it cooks. All right, well, it's not quite the sizzle I wanted yet, so we're gonna let it heat up. As that goes, I'm going to keep stirring my risotto.
Now, how many hours did you spend shucking the oysters?
I spent many hours.
I just wanted to see if you would lie and acknowledge that you bought them. See, once again, my friends,
now,
even the great chefs don't take the time. Well, you get them on ice, which is good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you didn't, you know, I hate it when they say, oh, fat man, you're always going the easy way out. Well, why didn't you bring the oysters in and shuck them right here?
Well, if you remember last week or the week before last, I did chuck them right there. I made the char-grilled oysters.
Yes, you did.
On the egg. But you know what? I'm not char-grilling it. I'm not serving it on the half shell. So
why the heck go through all the extra work?
Why go through the extra work? Exactly.
Why not just say you're right, fat man, most of the time? That would make your life so much easier.
Because that would be just an utter lie. Anyway. Anyway, so I'm going to keep letting that risotto go. That's sounding a little bit better with the pork chop now, so I'm going to go ahead and bring in my other. Yeah, that sounds much better. Bring in the other pork chops. How'd the salad turn out, by the way?
You know, I'm a little worried about the sweetness of the pineapple,
uh-huh.
But it actually works.
It works. It offsets the smokiness of the salmon, I think, and the red pepper that's in there, the sort of sharpness of the red pepper.
What I really like is you had enough mayonnaise to make it tacky instead of not enough mayonnaise and it's just so loose.
It just sort of falls apart, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to keep stirring and stirring and stirring our risotto. Now, you'll notice that those mushrooms, they look big when they go in the pot, even though they're sliced, but they reduce down to nothing. They just sort of shrink up and incorporate almost as part of the risotto. So, just going to keep stirring that, keep stirring, keep stirring. It's amazing how much stock that rice can absorb, isn't it? So, what we're going to do here is we're basically just going to brown these off. And it's because of the thickness, it's going to take about 5 minutes a side to really brown these off all the way. But then we're going to take the fond from this and add some onions and garlic and Guinness and all sorts of good stuff to that.
You know, Chef Eric, I am absolutely fond of your cooking. Anyway, my friends, we hope you're enjoying and having fond memories of this St. Patrick's Day at Chef of the Fat Man and Blue Collar Chefs. We are at the North Georgia Home Expo 2012, right here in beautiful Dawsonville. Chef Eric is cooking it up. The people are slopping it up. And everybody's having a great time. Although I will say, Chef Eric has not shared one bit of his secret recipe, the Guinness, with anybody but himself, the one-way guy. Anyway, my friends, when we come back, Chef Eric is going to finish up his risotto with a whole bunch of stuff in it. And his pork chops, which he's going to try to convince me, poofy white rice flour is better than gold medal. Welcome back, my friends. Oh, my goodness. You can't imagine how much fun we're having here. And I'll tell you what. You know, everybody here is vying for that important customer. So everybody here is putting out little dishes of candy. So being the fat and obvious noticeable one of everything that is sweet and good, I traveled the aisles. I tested the bowls. I tried all the different candies. I went and tried everything. As they say in Ireland, they call them sweeties. So we're going to have our own version of the Sweetie Award for this year's North Georgia Home Expo 2012. Chef Eric, it gives me great pleasure to bring in a recipient of this year's award. And if you would step to the microphone, please, from Septic Tanks Installed through Banks Septic Tank Service, they are out of Cumming, Georgia. And you aren't Matt.
No, I'm not.
You are?
Courtney Filcher.
Courtney, congratulations. You had the best candy bowl at the event.
Thank you.
Is amazing. So, because you did, we gave you the official green beads from the crew of King Arthur, New Orleans Mardi Gras 2012. You and your lovely assistant, her name is?
Stephanie.
And you said she had to go to the bathroom.
No, she went to the store.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. But anyway, Chef Eric, they had the best candy, and they said, well, since you are working over here so hard, they wanted to do something in honor of you. So they actually they had a box of candy named after you, and I present it to you right now. It is?
Nerds.
There you go. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And not
you.
To be outdone, they said, why should you have the ring, what is it, ring pop? Never heard of them, didn't understand what they were. So they said, well, we want to give Chef Eric his own ring pop that really typifies the spirit of his foofy cooking. So they dug through the whole pile of ring pops and came up with a pink ring pop. There you go, Chef Eric.
Gosh, thank you. Thank you so much.
And thanks to Bank Septic Tank Service for having the best bowl of candy. And you also added something else, too. A bowl of little toys.
Oh, yeah. We have toys for children.
Very good. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Just for that, you're going to be awarded the first taste of the pork chops. How about that?
Sure.
Well, that means we're also going to come by and get the last taste of candy from your bowl, too. So.
You better.
All right. Well, we will. Chef Eric, I can tell the tears are already welling up in your eyes.
Yes, they are. Because it's almost time. We're almost done here. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, now you're ready. Tell us what you're presenting.
Well, we're just about at the point here where, and I just want to give it a taste first. Hmm. Yep. Yep.
This is a good size ring. Roll. This Tootsie Roll.
So I'm going to salt this a little bit more. Now, by the way, we're not really cooking the oysters in here, right? They're just heated through a little bit.
Warming up.
Just warming them up so they're not, you know, totally cold. But, man, those are good oysters. And
they come from Appalachia?
These actually come from the Atlantic. Yes, yes, these are Appalachia oysters. No, they're not. They're from Charleston.
Do you like Tootsie Rolls?
I used to before I was on a diet.
I forgot, yes. But I won't tell you how good they are.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very good. So, all right, one more. Let me just try one more bite here.
Is there going to be any left for anybody else after you've tasted?
Hmm. A little more. Remember, season. Layer the seasoning, right? Season. Taste. Season again. Taste again.
Yeah, but the way you're going, there's not going to be anything left.
Well, that's the advantage of being a chef.
There you go.
So, that's ready to go. We're going to take some bowls, and we'll serve it up with a fork, or two, or four.
I'll start dishing that up while you're finishing your other recipe.
So let me tell you about what's in the other recipe here. We got onions.
Beautiful.
All right, we cooked the pork in the rice flour. We pan, you know, browned it off in there, about 6 minutes aside. And look at those pork chops. Now, see what I mean by the crispiness?
Yes.
Those are nice and crispy. And then the fond that we get down here is wonderful. So we've got, I added a little bit more oil, and I took the onions, three Schumann Produce Real Sweet Onions, dredged them through some more rice flour, and popped them in the oil with the fond and sort of helped scrape up that fond a little bit. And the forks were right here for you, but over here. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I was going to set them over here so that people could come by and pick them up so I don't have to run all over the place because I might lose a pound.
Well, we wouldn't want you running because that would just be...
That's just a visual.
That
people
just
should
visual,
be
right, exactly. So anyway, in this other dish, then we've got the onions sweating away, and they're about ready to go. So at this point, I'm going to uncover this.
Very dramatic presentation.
You like that? And grab another spoon. And see these little burned bits down the bottom? But they're not burned. They're just brown. I'm soaking all those up. I'm grabbing all of them. Because we're making an onion gravy with this.
Nice.
Now, if it's burned, then I'm sorry, you can't use it. Because if it's burned, it's too much. Too far gone. All right. Now we're going to take about a quarter cup of stock. Excuse me, of Guinness. Well, yes. Let me make sure.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for
finishing that's the Guinness.
Guinness.
That's good. And about three quarters of a cup of chicken stock. And we're going to bring this up to a boil. Then once this is up at a boil, and we've got all the little brown bits scraped up on it, we're going to put the pork chops back in. I'm going to slice them up a little bit and add them back in there and cook it up for another few minutes or so. And then what we're going to do is actually add some more stock and let it cook. And we'll serve it when we're off the air because that'll take a little while to do.
Well, that's good because we don't want people to know how good it is because, you know, I mean, come on. They need to be here next time.
Exactly right. But, by the way, make sure you scrape all these little bits of fond off of the edges of the pot because, first of all, there's two reasons that you want to do that. A, you don't want it to be burned, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's not burned, and those, if that fond stays there, it will be impossible to clean out of the pot. Okay? So this has dual purpose here. By adding the stock and the Guinness, not only are we getting some great flavor into those onions, but it's also going to thicken it.
So. Well, Chef Eric, amazing display of culinary wizardry today. Congratulations. I know how hard it was for you to take your Norwegian roots and try to tie them into Celtic roots and then try to get them into Ireland. But you did an amazing job. Four great recipes, a smoked haddock soup, Kittagree salad, oysters and Guinness risotto, and watercress, which it really sounds foofy, my friends, but it really looks good. And finally, pork chops with Guinness with Schumann onion gravy. Oh, my goodness, my friends. It is finishing up as we speak. There's so many people to thank. First and foremost, to the amazing people here at the North Georgia Home and Garden Expo 2012. Special thanks to Jim Kinsey of Kinsey Family Farms. I guess you would call him the leader of the band of Kinseys. And they are on the cutting edge of agritainment in North Georgia. Kinsey Family Farms, that's the place you want to go. In fact, today is their official opening to the general public.
Oh, really?
This Saturday, yes, it was this day. From 8 to 2, where you can get all of your neat bushes, shrubs, plants, all kinds of unique things. Check it out, Kinsey Family Farms. Chef Eric, amazing job today. As always, we thank you so much. To Michael Holst and Teresa Lass, not only are they great at the photogs, but they also have started something new and cool. And next time you're at one of our shows, ask how you can get one. Maybe we'll make them like beads. As anyway, the buttoneers, with the official Chef and a Fat Man button. And we thank them so very much. To the Keeper of the Dows, the Shebeast, who must be obeyed. Karen Jenkins, Chef and a Fat Man of Blue Collar Chefs, has been presented by the Big Green Egg,
the ultimate cooking experience.
In fact, we're right across from AtlantaSpa.com and Atlanta Spa and Leisure. They are the ones with the $7,500 hot tub that they invited us to spend a couple hours in. But they said they won't put water in there because they're afraid we would have swimming suits and it would destroy the whole idea.
You told them you were going to wear your thong, didn't you?
I had my thong already for it. He disappointed me once again. Anyway, also to Schumann Produce and Real Sweet Onions. My friends, there are onions and there are onions. But if you want the real sweet, true Vidalia or Peruvian, there is only one way and one way only you can get the sweetest onions on earth. It has to say real sweet on the bag or real sweet on the sticker, or it just
ain't
real sweet. Before we extinguish the flames of the kitchens of Chef and the Fat Man, we remind you, as we do each and every week, to remember our troops and our first responders. They are the reasons why we continue to have the freedoms we enjoy so much. The price of freedom
is never free.
Before we extinguish that final flame, and Chef Eric is getting ready to do so, we would like to thank you. I'm your host, Kevin Jenkins. And for those of you who are confused, I'm not the chef. I am the Fat Man. Till next week, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Be safe. Please keep your dials right here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. And my friends, next week, we will be at Bobby G's. How about that? Week after that, we will be in the onion fields of Reevesville, Georgia, cooking for TV. That ought to be interesting. Till next week, everyone, God bless. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And as we say in Ireland, slánja, everyone, but be safe.